May Jesus bless you with this peace. I'm Father Matthew Krempel at St. Mary Roman Catholic Church, Kingman, Arizona, anticipating the 4 o'clock Saturday evening Mass on this ninth day of January 2016, liturgical cycle year C, anticipating the baptism of the Lord. Our first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 5 and 9 to 11, Psalm 104. Letter of St. Paul to Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, chapter 3, verses 4 to 7, and the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 to 16, and 21 to 22. Praise the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. People were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. Then heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." St. Luke has a little different version, as we can hear, of the baptism of Jesus than the other three Gospels, which are a little more dramatic. John protesting, for example, that he should be baptized by Jesus rather than baptize Jesus. But Luke, in particular, says it many times, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. Luke will tell us often that Jesus will look out for deserted places where he can go off and pray. Pray alone, in silence, to the Heavenly Father, of course. This is what the gift of the Holy Spirit can do for us. The Holy Spirit can teach us to pray. And perhaps because of world events that don't seem to get better, but only worse, we have found ourselves in very intense prayer as well. Praying. Because it seems that we have no physical defense, we have no power. We have no internal or external strength to defend ourselves. Where do we turn? Our readings today sound much like the readings of Advent, that we are expecting this great Savior to come and console the people of God, to see a shepherd who carries the lambs in his arms and leads the ewes with care. We almost are in a panicked situation. It is the Holy Spirit who inspires us to pray. If we were to continue the next paragraph of this gospel, we'd find that Jesus would be impelled or compelled by the Holy Spirit to go into the desert to fast and pray. We'll come upon that soon enough in anticipation of Lent. But again, the emphasis, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? The Holy Spirit moves us towards God, moves us to be in prayer, to be speaking to God. What do we pray for? Well, certainly we pray for the Middle East, that those peoples who populate that area may give up their revenge, their hatred, their killing of one another. We would pray as well for our country, because we see so many consciences twisted as we hear the prophecy that the mountains shall be laid low and the valleys will be filled in. Again, that's an analogy, a comparison. It's not literally going to happen, nor do we want it to happen that way, but rather the mountains of revenge, hatred, twisted consciences will be made straight and smooth. Straight towards the Lord. Straight according to the will of the Lord. We pray that people who believe abortion on demand is a right of a woman, and that we who follow Jesus faithfully need to pay for their crime. Their consciences are twisted. Those who promote the homosexual lifestyle as equal to the marriage of a man and a woman with children have twisted consciences, and they impose their will upon us and accuse us of being warped and twisted. By constantly twisting the language that we use, redefining it, we're the ones that are made to feel guilty for loving Jesus and surrendering our will to His will. And so we pray to resist these temptations, these confrontations, these insults that would twist us and turn us around away from Jesus. We pray for our children, our young people, that they may stand strong, and you parents need to teach them how to be strong in the faith and also to be aware of the teachings of the church so that they may be free from all temptation and not fall into serious sin. That they may become holy as God is holy, which is our call as well, as cited in the book of Leviticus and by the letter of St. Peter. It is God's will that we be holy as He is holy. We pray for the sick and the dying, that they persevere in their belief in Jesus, and not curse and swear because of the pain and the long suffering they're going through. That they remember the good things of the Lord and not despair in his mercy. We pray that they be delivered from the temptation to shorten their lives through euthanasia, making it easier. I will choose the day and the hour that I die. I'm not going to go with this long suffering. And the world will try to convince us in its twisted way to follow these paths to death. We pray for married couples that they may persevere in their marriage with the love of God, free from infidelity, free from the temptation of separating and divorce, freeing themselves from adultery, freeing also then our young people who are tempted to fornicate, that they persevere and see their virginity as a special gift from God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, as a sign of their innocence before the eyes of the Heavenly Father. And that at the moment of their, or the day of their marriage, their gift is pure, free, unstained, and well received. We pray for those who have died, of course. We don't know who dies necessarily in the state of grace, but we have our hopes. We pray that anyone who is dying will die in the arms of the Lord, in the shepherd, that he may carry them as he carries the lambs in his arms to the Heavenly Father. We pray that the graces of their baptism will become effective at that very moment and not be ineffective, saving them from the fires of hell and bringing them into the light of the Heavenly Father. We pray for those whose faith has weakened and have died, or who have turned away from the Lord and died. We do not know where they're at. We pray for their souls, that they may have rest, that they not be like souls seeking to bother other people or haunt other people, but seeking the peace of Christ, who is their life. We pray for the mercy of God to come upon us all, to transform us, to keep teaching us how to surrender our will as a free gift and as the most precious gift that we can give to the Heavenly Father. We pray for the renewal of the gift of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. We pray that the same Holy Spirit may enkindle our hearts with the fire of his divine love. As John says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, the fire of God's love. And so as we go deeper into this new year, we keep our resolution to pray, because Jesus prayed and because our prayers, united together, will move the heart of God to extend his mercy upon us, to protect us from all evil, and to bring us into his eternal light. When mightier than I is coming, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.